In the year 20, from the years 2010 through the year 2050, Muslims are projected to be the world's fastest growing religious group. The world's population between 2010 to 2050 is projected to increase at a 35% rate. Muslims are projected to increase at a 73% rate. In fact, there's no other world religion that is going to grow faster than the world's population, or projected to grow any faster than the world's population. Christianity, and this is obviously broad, not our definition of Christianity, basically about stay at the rate. Hindus stay about at the rate. Jews about 16%. Folk religions 11%, and unaffiliated 9%. Other religions 6%. Buddhists actually supposed to go down just a little bit. But why is this? Well, one reason that's given is the age of those that are in the Islamic faith. In sub-Saharan Africa, Muslims, the average age is 17. Others, the average age is 19. In Middle Eastern Africa to Northern Africa, the average Muslim age is 23. Non-Muslims is 29. In the Asia Pacific region, Muslim average age is 24. Non-Muslims, 31. In North America, the average Muslim age is 26, where non-Muslims would be 37. In Europe, 32 for Muslims, non-Muslims, 41. So across the world, Muslim age is 23, non-Muslims, 30. So one is the age gap. Another is the rate of children. In every category, sub-Saharan Africa, Middle East, North Africa, Asia Pacific, North America, Europe, in every one of those brackets, the fertility rate for the rate at which they have children is higher for Muslims than it is for any other, for all non-Muslims in every geographical category that I just read. In fact, for the whole world, the average fertility rate of or the birth rate is 2.3 for the world. For Muslims, it's 3.1. If you could take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 127. You know, this is a message tonight that you run the risk of some people shutting you off. They might say, this doesn't apply to me. So I guess I won't have anything that I really need to listen to. And you run the risk of maybe offending people. You run the risk of maybe getting into people's personal lives, personal decisions. But it is a very important subject for Christians. In fact, it is a subject that greatly affects the future of Christianity. You know, one of the reasons that Muslims are growing is because they believe in having children. And would it be wise for believers to have the right perspective on children, and that we would recognize the value of children so that we can properly apply ourselves to what God would want us to do in this area, so that we could have the effect that God would want us to have upon the world in which we live? It says in Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Family Planning 2020 is a global partnership that supports, otherwise known as FP 2020, is a global partnership that supports the right of women and girls to decide freely and for themselves whether, when, and how many children they want to have. You know, the world has its view of family planning. But tonight I'd like to look at God's view of family planning. First of all, I'd like us to see that children are from God. Children are from God. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." If you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. You know, really, ultimately, who is the one in charge of having children? Well, it's God. Now, I'm not saying that obviously humans have no aspect in this, but ultimately, who is in charge? For instance, you can drive out on the road, and the way you drive has an effect upon your safety. But you can prepare yourself for safety, but yet not be safe, because the Bible says safety is of the Lord. Now, you can go out on the road and you can make a foolish decision. And obviously that affects your safety. You know, but the Bible says the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And in this matter, obviously what people do affects things, but ultimately we find that children are from God. It says in verse number 5, 1 Samuel 1, 5, it says, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah." It says, "But the Lord had shut up her womb." You know, we find that Hannah came and poured out her heart to the Lord, because she had no children. You know, during this period of time that Hannah did not have children, obviously God had a plan. And through this plan, God raised up a young man. God raised up someone that would change the course of the history of Israel, would have a profound impact upon the nation of Israel. And that was the child Samuel. And so God had shut up her womb, but God had a purpose for it. In 1 Samuel 2 and verse 21, we find that after Hannah had given Samuel to the Lord, we find it says, "And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord." Here again, we find children are from God. Children are from God. You can read the account of Rachel in Genesis chapter 30. God shut up her womb. We'll go there quickly. Genesis chapter 30. It says, "And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, 'Give me children, or else I die.' And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, 'Am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?'" Now we do find, if you read earlier, it talks about how Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah, and God shut up her womb. But we find God is the one that children are from God. That's something that we need to understand. Children are from God. Secondly, I'd like us to see that children are a blessing, not a curse. Children are a blessing, not a curse. It says in Psalm 127, it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." You know, this is something that the American society does not understand. There's, you know, somebody that came up with 10 reasons, you know, why millennials are not having as many children. And came up with, you know, stated 10 reasons. If you just give me a minute here, I'll find the 10 reasons. Number one, kids aren't always financially feasible, especially if you have student loans. And the Pew Research did research, and one of the biggest, the number one reason, when Gallup asked why couples aren't having more kids, most Americans, 65% in 2013, whether with or without children, cited the cost associated with raising a child. It says here, the average cost of raising a child from birth until they reach age 18 has risen over the decades. From $198,560 in 1960, I believe these are inflation numbers, to $245,340 in 2013. They're inflation adjusted. So imagine that, $245,340 to raise a child from birth to age 18. That's pretty expensive. Right, that's a lot of money. And some people, one of the reason they give is, a lot of people, the reason they give is that there's just, you know, it costs a lot of money. A second reason, there's a strong fear of passing down mental health issues. Somebody stated, "I've struggled with depression, and if I pass that pain on, I would feel horrid for inflicting that sadness and numbing on another human. No one deserves to live like this if it can be prevented." You know, obviously, what are they leaving out? Well, they're leaving God out of the equation and the victory that He can give. They're leaving, you know, why the depression is caused or the sin that brought about that depression. There's a number of issues that were given. One was, with kids come the pressure to make perfect choices. Not all women are pre-programmed with maternal instincts. "Children always have irritated me to no end," one person stated. "The only time I enjoy children is when they are quiet, humble, intelligent beings." Obviously, these conditions are unreasonable to expect of the tiny human. So for me, the logical solution is to not have any of my own. One reason was, the world isn't always a nice place. A pregnancy takes a serious physical toll. Fertility issues can give a different perspective on the necessity of having kids. Sometimes career ambitions take priority. One person wrote, when I imagine my future, I just don't see any kids, or any in referring to kids. "I love what I'm studying, and I want to get the most out of my career. Whether that includes endless overtime, sleepless nights, relocating, and or travel." Another person wrote, I have noted from quite a young age that when a man and a woman get married and have children, it almost always means the woman becomes a housewife, unless the parents both have to work. "I have worked hard in school and would love to get married someday, but the idea that I would quit my job that I have worked my whole life to stay home for the next 18 plus years does not appeal to me." The 10th reason was, children don't fit into every lifestyle. One person wrote, "My dream is to visit all 195 countries in the world. Been to 23 so far, and I really don't feel like a child fits into the nomad lifestyle I want to live." Someone else wrote, "With the way I want to live my life, kids would get in the way." You know, people view children as a curse, not a blessing. View them as something that gets in the way. You know, sometimes all of us can fall prey to the fact that, you know, children just are maybe not always as valuable as adults. You know, think of the disciples. When the children came to Christ, what did they want to do? They were going to push them away, weren't they? But Christ said, suffer the little children to come unto me and what? And forbid them not. You know, sometimes we can get more excited. You know, if we had 30 adults visiting church and we had 30 children visit church, who would you get more excited about? 30 children that visited church or 30 adults? You know, just sometimes it's some, you know, obviously, you know, and there's various reasons, but we need to understand that God sees children as important. I mean, you think of a child, you have that direction, they can be aimed. There's great value there. You know, that's something that every one of us can realize, can take away from this message, no matter where you are in life, is that God sees children as a blessing, not a curse. And we need to have the perspective of Christ, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Do you see children as a blessing? You know, what if I said tonight that there was a family, there was a mother that had 25 children? What would you think? Whoa, crazy, right? You know, and you know, the problem many times is that there can be a general idea that permeates the air sometimes, that people can have that, oh, that's kind of crazy. And what can it do? It can discourage people that maybe have that opportunity from maybe having a large family. You know, what is your take? 25 children, what would you think? Well, probably everybody in this room would think that's kind of crazy. But do you know that Susanna Wesley was the 25th child of 25 children? Think of that. If those parents would have decided to only have their two children, what if they would have stopped at 24? Think of how one person and the children that she had, you know, John and Charles Wesley, and obviously the others, and how they changed the world. You know, I believe, you know, obviously back then, many times there were a number of deaths because the infant mortality rate was very high. Jonathan Edwards, I believe, was the fifth of 11 children. George Whitefield was the seventh child. In fact, he was the fifth son, and they already had one daughter. You know, what's the perfect American family? You have one son, one daughter, and then you what? You stop. Well, imagine if George Whitefield parents would have done the same thing. Think of the great impact that was made on our nation. He was the seventh child. D.L. Moody, I believe, was also the seventh child. And I believe in his case, there were already five sons and a daughter before his birth. In fact, his dad, Edwin J. Moody, died when he was 4 years old. And I believe there was twins born to his mother after a month or so after his father had died. Most parents would look upon that home as, whoa, you know, what was he thinking? But yet God had a what? God had a special plan. You know, in C.H. Spurgeon's family, now C.H. Spurgeon was the firstborn, but his family had... His parents had 17 children. Nine of them actually died. You know, we have a completely different view of children than they used to have. Do you understand the blessing that God, that children are a blessing, not a curse? Somebody say, well, you know, how am I supposed to provide for them? I mean, there's a lot of money. Well, you know, it says in Psalm 37, verse number 25. Psalm 37, verse 25. It says, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Notice that. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the what? The righteous forsaken, nor his what? Nor his seed begging bread. You know, if God gives you children, guess what? He is going to give you the resources to take care of them. As you continue to what? To live in his will for your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what? And all these things shall be added unto you, referring to the necessities of life. So you must understand that children are a blessing, not a curse. Thirdly, children are valuable. Children are valuable. We already kind of, I guess, talked about that a little bit, but do you realize the value of children? It says here in verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. You know, what would a man do? He goes out, you know, to fight and doesn't have any arrows. Or what would you think of an unarmed army? You know, would there be any fear there? Would the enemy have any fear? You know, there's an army, but they have no weapons. Well, children are valuable. They says, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. You know, those arrows allow that man to have an effect upon an area that he couldn't have effect physically by standing in one location. He can reach distances that he could not reach by himself. Children are valuable. Do you understand that God places a value on children? You know, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a teacher, there's a value in children. You have the what? You have the opportunity. Well, fourthly, we find that children must be directed. You have an opportunity to direct that arrow. And children are valuable, but fourthly, children must be directed. An unguided arrow can have unintended, deadly consequences. You know, I think of that illustration that Dr. Sanders gave of the young man who I believe was riding his bike. And I think he had just gotten saved maybe that week at meetings or something. But he had just gotten saved, and you know, a bullet that was shot up into the air to kill a hawk in a tree, you know, went through the hawk, you know, traveled the distance, came down, and struck the young boy as he was riding his bicycle, and he died. You know, and the children, if they are not guided in the appropriate direction, can prove deadly. Can prove very serious. And they must be directed. You know, Ephesians 6 talks about fathers to train their children, to nurture them and train them. You know, children must be directed. You know, do you have the right view of the family tonight? Or not just the family, but do you have the right view, I guess, of children tonight? Have you begun to buy into the modern idea that children are a problem, children get in the way, children are a hindrance to what I want to accomplish? You know, what's your view? Do you have God's view tonight? Do you recognize the value? Do you recognize that, you know, American Christianity has gotten off track and probably already we're paying the price, but in the future are going to pay the price even more? Now, obviously, there are certain situations and, you know, children are from God and we can't sit there and we have to be. We need to recognize that, but do we have, what's the general thinking that we have in this area? do you have God's viewpoint or do you have the world's viewpoint? Do you recognize the powerful impact that children guided in the right direction can have? You know, and think of this church right here. You know, the devil is out there seeking to steal any child he can from fulfilling God's purpose for his life. You know, obviously, if he can steal them from this church, what do you think he's going to do in other places? I mean, I think we would consider ourselves a strong church. You know, if the devil can move in here and he can thwart and he can work and we can allow him to get young people off course, then what's going to happen in other places? And we need to understand the seriousness tonight of aiming children in the right direction. You know, first of all, they have to what? They have to be there. But do we have God's viewpoint tonight? Or do we have our own? You know, it's somebody wrote some things. The reason why fewer women are giving birth in Western countries, Kipnis says, is education. It says, interestingly, women with most education, a little later on, are the ones having the fewest children, though even basic literacy has a negative effect on birth rates in the developing world. The higher the literacy rate, the lower the birth rate. In other words, when women acquire critical skills and start weighing their options, they soon wise up to the fact that they're not getting enough recompense for their labors. You know, obviously, it's an entirely worldly viewpoint on having children. It's interesting what somebody else states. Scrivener acknowledges that this attitude could be interpreted as selfish, and I skipped some, but it seems her feelings are indicative of a larger transformation in Western culture, no less profound than our collective consensus on what life is for. In other words, she's saying, an existential shift in the way educated humans approach living, a switch from living for, and in parentheses, possibly celestial, a switch in living for the future to enjoying the present has led humans to think more carefully about having children since the drawbacks tend to outweigh the benefits. As we age, she writes, we are apt to look back on our past and question not did I serve family, God, and country, but did I ever get to Cuba or run a marathon? Did I take up landscape painting? Was I fat? We will assess the success of our lives in accordance not with whether they were righteous, but whether they were interesting and fun. And obviously that's the world's perspective. But when we begin to buy in that into that perspective in Christianity, when we begin to have a different viewpoint on children, we're beginning to buy into this temporal mindset that the world carries of living for the present rather than living for the future. I wonder, what viewpoint have you adopted in your life? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just pray that you would help us to have your perspective. And Lord, we don't always understand your purposes. But Lord, we can understand, Lord, the fact that children are valuable and they need to be directed. Lord, they're a blessing. And Lord, I pray that as we think of the future, Lord, that you would help us to take, Lord, the valuable treasures that we have right here in our midst and see them go forward And Lord, we wouldn't limit what you would want to do because of our own selfish endeavors. Lord, may you be honored and glorified through what takes place, Lord, in this body of believers, in this area, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.